This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, if you're in school, say, or you're starting your career or thinking of changing careers, someone maybe, probably has told you at some point to follow your passion or just do what you love. Our next guest is a sociologist who, after years of telling others to follow their passions, started to feel like that advice didn't sound quite right. Aaron Seck is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Michigan and author of the book, The Trouble with Passion, How Searching for Fulfillment at Work Fosters Inequality. Aaron, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you, as I mentioned, once dispensed this advice yourself. A lot of people have over the years. Where did this idea come from that if you're looking for work, follow your passion?
Sure. Well, it's been around for a long time. We've seen that that is an idea that people have held on to in their understanding of what good work means since at least the late 1970s, early 1980s, and has really only increased in power as we've seen people look at the labor force and say, you know what, it's not the kind of stable place that maybe my parents or my grandparents' generation had access to. Maybe I better find work that I love.
And where does that idea start to go wrong as you see it?
Right. So, I mean, we definitely don't want people being in jobs that they hate, that they want to make them want to tear their hair out on a regular basis. But the difficulty comes in two different places. One is who has access to jobs that are both aligned with their passion and also provide a decent income and are relatively stable. And what I find in my research is that the folks who can get jobs that are aligned with their passion and are stable and well-paying tend to be those who come from more well-off backgrounds in terms of socioeconomics. And they tend to have access to things that I call safety nets and springboards from their parents. Things like the ability to not have a whole lot of student loan debt or social connections they might have in an industry to get them jobs from the very beginning after graduating college. And so telling everybody that they should follow their passion can actually help to reproduce a lot of the kinds of socioeconomic inequalities we see that students enter college with. The second part of the difficulty is, what does it mean that we are willing to show up for a job and maybe willing to sacrifice good pay or control over our hours or working 80 or 90 hours a week because we're doing work that we love? And one of the things I find is that people are willing to sacrifice a whole lot for jobs that they have some kind of personal connection to. But on the flip side of that, employers not only like people who are passionate about their work, but often will explicitly exploit that, try to find people that will be passionate about their work because they believe they won't have to pay them as much.
Yeah, let's follow up on that point. There have been exposés about things like the video game industry lately, Hollywood special effects companies, where people come in with a passion to do those things. Can you talk about how that plays out when employers might want to exploit that passion?
Absolutely. So that can happen in a couple of ways. One is exploiting the expectation that people will take on additional responsibilities and burdens without asking for much in return. And if an employer has people who are really passionate about their work, it means that they might not have to deal with that kind of pushback or requesting of additional resources or more control over their schedule. But then it also means that people, when they're trying to figure out how to navigate the requests for additional resources, can sometimes get stymied. So, for example, a few years ago when we saw a streak of teacher strikes, one of the things that was pushing back against the claims that teachers were making for the need for more support and more pay was that people would say to teachers, well, you chose teaching because you're passionate about it, and so therefore you shouldn't want or need to ask for more money. So it takes away the kind of negotiation power that people have. Even if they're passionate about their work, they should still be able to ask for things like raises.
So for an individual in this situation, they've got a job, they felt passionate about coming into it, they realize they're, you know, overworked, they're hustling all the time, not really getting compensated. Now, if that person came to you and sought out job advice, what kind of things might you point them toward?
That's a really good question. So first and foremost, I would say to them, make sure that you are finding space in your life for things outside of your work that you're passionate about. The paid labor force was not designed to support us in our search for self-fulfillment and self-expression, right? It's structured to be able to advance the needs and the goals of the people who sort of own the businesses that we work for or run the organizations that we work for. And so we have to make sure to protect ourselves and our sense of identity and meaning in the instance that our job goes away or we get reassigned or even fired. And so one of the most important things is how can we find things that we love that are completely unattached to the work that we do. And for people who are busy professionals, it actually takes work to find time outside of work for things that you're in, that inspire you and that you're excited about. But that's a really important piece to have a more holistic sense of personal identity that's outside of one's paid work. Another task is how can we shrink the footprint of work in our lives? And that can be on the basis of how many hours per week we're working, or even how often we're on. We're checking our smartphones, we're checking our Slack channels for communication from our coworkers. How can we make room in our lives for just ourselves outside of the context of work? And the final thing I'll say is we have to make sure that we don't inadvertently pressure the young people in our lives or the people who are making decisions about their own career paths to say to them that the best way and really the only way to make a career decision is to follow your passion and find work that you love. There's all kinds of ways in our lives to have work that we enjoy, that we don't hate going into work for. That can mean having colleagues that we like to work with. That can be liking the organization that we work for, even if we're not necessarily totally passionate about the particular tasks we do in our job. And another way is to have a job where we have pretty predictable hours and that we can confine the footprint of that work in a kind of confined space. And so the people in our lives that are trying to make that decision, make sure that we approach their decision-making from a more holistic way rather than a passion is the only way kind of approach.
Talking to Aaron Sachs, sociologist at the University of Michigan, author of the book, The Trouble with Passion, How Searching for Fulfillment at Work Fosters Inequality. Aaron, I want to go back to the first point now, the inequality thing. I can imagine, like, there's a lot of jobs out there where you either have to expect to make no money for a long time, maybe in the arts before you make it, or you are expected to do unpaid internships. I think media is a big one on that. Do you see structural fixes on that to make sure that people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds have a shot at that kind of thing?
Yes, some of that comes down to what academic institutions themselves are doing. One of the biggest burdens that students are facing when they leave college, of course, is student loan debt. So not having such an intense burden of student loan debt can certainly help students from low-income families or who are first generation to even the playing field. Another thing is that schools can either pressure organizations to provide paid internships for those students the organizations that want to recruit students to work for them, or in absence of that, provide fellowships or scholarships for students who want to intern at a place that is beneficial for them career wise, but they might otherwise need to be able to work a job that would pay something to be able to help pay their bills and pay tuition and pay for books down the line. And then more broadly, encouraging both students and those in the communities to understand that the reason that people are interested in finding jobs they're passionate about to begin with is because the labor force is really precarious and because we're expected to work for so many hours, most professionals are. And so thinking and promoting collective solutions that not only help the experiences of those who might be passionate about their work, but also the experiences of people who work in jobs that hold little ability for people being passionate about their work can help lift all boats, as the saying goes.
All right, a one-minute drill here, Aaron. Suppose you're talking to a high school senior incoming this year. Leave them with a message as they look ahead to the job world.
Make sure to, as I say in my book, diversify your meaning-making portfolio, that the role that you have in your job is only one aspect of who you are as a person and should be only one place where you're nurturing a sense of self-expression and identity.
Aaron, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Aaron Seck is an associate professor of sociology at the University of Michigan. She talked to us about her book. It's called The Trouble with Passion, How Searching for Fulfillment at Work Fosters Inequality. Interested in hearing from you. Did you follow your passion at some point in your career? How did it work out? Was it a good idea or a mistake? Did you ever have a job where you loved the idea of it coming in, but realized you were just overworked and undercompensated with the expectation that, hey, you love it, so take what you get? You can let us know. Share your story. Email ideas@wpr.org. That's ideas@wpr.org. And do you give this advice to young people yourself? Follow your passion. Yes or no? Email ideas@wpr.org.